we see that Megillah, the story of Purim, centers around one or two major characters. And you would assume that when you're defining the Megillah, you would either mention the characters or stay general, right? Look at Chanukah. Chanukah has a couple of characters, the Chashmonaim, Yehuda Maccabee, but if it says when the Megillah was the Megillah of Chanukah, look at the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you had Moshe, but it's still the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But yet when it comes to the Megillah, although there is Mordechai and Esther, it's called Megillah's Esther. Why? Why isn't it called Megillah's Purim? Or Megillah's Mordechai? Will Sneas, to make it in honor of the Rav. Why is it called Megillah's Esther? And in fact, if you look even closer, it's Esther that has them write the Megillah. Why? Let's understand who Esther was. And this is coming off a talk that I heard someone tell me from Aaron Lichtenstein and from other sources as well. Who is Esther? Who is Esther Hamalka? So when she starts off, you see she's a beautiful girl, someone that was an automatic victor in the contest for Ahasuerus, but completely powerless, right? Everything, the Megillah says, everything that Mordechai told her to do, she would listen to, right? When it was her turn to get beautified and to put all the spices and the cosmetics, she asked for nothing. She was the only one that wasn't picky. She was the only non-spoiled girl there. Her name, Esther, stands for Astir, for hiding. She had no identifiable characteristics. She didn't want to tell anyone her nationality. She had no roots. She had no background. She's almost as if she doesn't exist. And as the Midrash says, she made herself like a karka. She made herself like the land in it when she was in dealing with Ahasuerus. Quiet, silent, obedient, introverted. That was Esther. That's how the Megillah started. How does the Megillah end? The Megillah ends with Esther facing death and doing what no sane individual in the entire kingdom would do and walking into the king's chamber uninvited. She then takes on the two most powerful and the two most cunning men in the country, Ahasuerus and Haman, not once, but twice, and plays them both in a way where they fall into her scheme exactly how she plans it. She transforms the fate of the Jewish people from death into power, and in some degrees, even overshadows Mordechai. How does Mordechai come to get his home in the end? Mordechai moves into Haman's home in the end. How? Through Esther. Who writes the Megillah? Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail. And only later on did Mordechai join her. And so what happened? What happened from the powerless, introverted, totally step-over-me type person to the most cunning and powerful leader that we've seen in Jewish history? If you look in the parsha, in the Megillah, you see that the entire thing changed in four psukim. And I tell you, I read this pasuk every year, and I shake every time I read it because it is so powerful. Context: what's happening? The decree comes down. Jews will be exterminated. Right? This is happening in Nisan. Right? This all happens in Nisan, that Haman draws the lot, and it pulls out 13 months later in Adar, that for the next year, we're going to kill the Jews. And this is now the place is going crazy, and the Jews are fasting, and Mordechai's in a sackcloth. And Esther seems to be cool. She seems to be in the palace, and she's like, all right, you know. And she's doing nothing. Now, look in the Pasuk, in Perek Dalid. Esther gives Mordechai clothing so that he doesn't have to put on the sackcloth. Right? Esther telling Mordechai, stop it, you're embarrassing me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. You're upset. We're all upset. Grow up. You've got 13 months. We'll deal with it. Stop looking like that. You're in front of the king's palace, for God's sakes. Put on normal clothing, please. But Yigidu Mordechai es divrei Esther. Okay? I'm reading from the inside and on Pasuk Yud Beis. But Yomar Mordechai lahashiv al Esther. Mordechai says to go back to Esther, Al tadmi b'nafsheich lehimaleit bet hamelech mikola Yehudim. Do not imagine that you're going to be able to escape the king's palace any more than the rest of us. Don't you stop playing all assimilated on me right now. Don't tell me to calm down. And don't think that because you're behind the gates, you're going to be protected. You're with us. And here it comes. Ki, im hachareish tacharishi. If you're going to stay quiet, ba'es hazos at this time, revach v'hatzala yamod la'yehudim b'makom acher. Don't worry. If we're going to get saved, it's going to come someplace else. But va'at uveis avich tovedu. And the only difference is that you and your entire family will be perished. Umi yodea. And who knows, im la'es kazos higia l'malchus. And who would have known that maybe you didn't make queen because you happened to have been so pretty. Maybe you made queen because you had to be there to help us. So, don't be so proud of yourself. Don't be so secure where you are, because it could be that the only reason why you were there was to help us, and had you not helped us, you'd lose your reason for being there, and you'd also be persecuted. And that's the moment of Esther. Right now, Esther gets the Musar Shmooze of her lifetime. And it's silence. But Tomer Esther, Lahashiv El Mordechai. And they tell us to Esther, and Esther tells him back, Leich Knos Es Kol HaYehudim. Okay, let's go. Go get the Jews. Start fasting. I'm going in. And at that moment, Esther is transformed into Superwoman. At that moment, she takes on a brand new meaning and manages to almost single-handedly save the Jewish people. But what happened? What in those words was he telling her that she didn't know already? You think Esther didn't care? You think Esther said, you know what? Okay, it happens. We lived a good life. The Jews lasted until now. All right, we're not going to go the distance. We're not going to go the distance. Esther cared. Esther wanted to, obviously, that the Jews wouldn't get killed. But she knew she couldn't help. She knew that nothing was going to happen. She was where she was. She wasn't called for. In order to get into the king's chambers, she had to be invited. She wasn't invited. It was already sealed. It was done. What Mordechai did was that he began to rattle her in a way that we need to be rattled on Purim. Esther said, we can't do it. Mordechai said, yeah. According to nature, we can't. According to nature, maybe you're right, but if you don't try, if you don't push, if you don't use whatever you have for the klal, who knows if this is the only reason why you have what you have. He taught her an unbelievable lesson in life. Don't think that you need to have the ability to win and the ability to perform before you perform. That's not how it works in life. You need to be in a position to help, whether you can or you can't. And there needs to be, if there's a need, you have a responsibility to do what you can to help the klal. Regardless of whether or not you think it would work, let the results stand in God's court. You focus on the effort. That was what Mordechai told Esther. Stop worrying about results. Stop worrying about the effort. Because if you stay quiet now, who knows if something is it'll come, but at the base of avich tovedu, you will not have put in your effort, and then you would have forfeited your right to exist. This is how it works in Yiddishkeit. You don't have the ability and then you put in the result. You need to have the will. You need to have the effort. And that alone is what you need before the results. There's a famous vort from Rav Malkiel Cutler, when she speaks about when Yaakov Avinu goes down into the well to meet Rachel. And it says here, Vayikashera Yaakov is Rachel bas Lavan, achi imo. Vesom Lavan achi imo, Vayikash Yaakov vayagel es ha'evan. He goes and he removes the evan me'al pia be'er, Vayashk et son Lavan achi imo. And he waters the camels, the lambs of the cattle. Rashi, Vayigash Yaakov vayagel, ka'adam shemavir es apakak me'al pi tzavais. Someone who removes a cork from a bottle, lahodiacha, to tell you, shekocho gadol. Why in the world does the Torah go out of its way to tell you that Yaakov removed the Evan to show you his great strength? So Rav Malkiel Cutler asks an amazing question. Why does the Torah have to show us Yaakov's strength? Can you imagine hearing a gadol story of like Rav Shach or Rav Pam, and it's like, yeah, and then they walked over and there's a baby and they picked up the car? What are you telling me this for? Because I want to show you how strong Rav Shach is. You want to tell me how strong Rav Shach is? What are you, crazy? Like, I care? He's Rav Shach. It's almost like not b'chavadik to tell me that he's strong. Like, what's irrelevant? This is Yaakov Avinu. The Torah has to tell us how strong he is, like we care how physically strong he is. So Malkiel Cutler says, no. It's coming to teach us a much more important lesson. Yaakov Avinu wasn't strong. He was a Yoshev Ohalim. He was a tiny little coal boy. Esav was the strong one. It's showing you a concept. In life, when there's a problem and you put in the effort, the Kodesh Baruch Hu decides about the results. Yaakov could have looked at that Evan and said, there's no way I can do that. There's just no way. I am me. I've been sitting in Ohalim, in tents for the past who knows how long. I haven't lifted anything. But there's a problem. They need water. And I'm going to put in my effort. And then I'm going to show you my strength. His strength. To see his strength, meaning that strength was given to him only because he put in the effort. Had he not put in the effort, he never would have had the strength. That's the essence of Purim. And that's the essence of Yiddishkeit. That every single one of us has within ourselves a certain amount of untapped potential that will never be tapped unless we look at a problem in the klal and say, I will do my best, I will put in my effort to fix that problem. Whether it's a personal problem, whether it's a general problem, and when you put in the effort, God decides if he's going to give you the results and give you the koach and give you the power to then be the savior of Klal Yisrael, whether it's in general or in specific. But don't think that when you're in that state and you have the untapped potential and you see the problem, that if you don't engage, you don't try, it's okay. It's not a big deal. It'll happen. Something else, someone else will pick it up. Yeah, Mordechai tells you. Revach v'atzala yamol v'yehudim v'makom acher. If you don't do it, it'll get done. But v'at ubeis avich tovedu. But you're going to be lost. Your purpose in this life might then be for naught. Because Mio Deo, who knows? In La Es Kazosi Giva Malchus, who knows that the reason you were born to your parents and your environment and your situation and your health was just to help in this area. And if you don't, you may have squandered your opportunity. That's what Purim is about. Purim is about empowering yourself to realize your untapped potential. And it's about recognizing that Klal Yisrael may have some tzaras, and it is your obligation, it is our duty to look to what we have naturally, to look to the position that we're in, whether we're Esther in the Malchus or we're Yaakov by the well, and see a problem and do our best to fix it. And then maybe Kodesh Baruch Hu will give us the koach of Yaakov, or the cunning and power of Esther, to be able to help a Jew or the Jewish people and fulfill our potential in this world, like Esther and Yaakov and so many others did. Yontif.